IFM 101.9 megahertz of life.
Professor Barry Shoup, Chair of the Ministerial Advisory Committee. Good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning, Howard. Very well. How are you doing?
Well, I am doing okay, but the numbers are starting to scare the bejeebies out of me. I mean, it's last night was over 8,000 new cases.
Yeah. No, I think what we normally do is we like to take the 7-day average rather than the individual days. Because as you say, there's often an accumulation of figures, of notifications, and then they get notified on a particular day. So 7-day, in fact, ideal is a 14-day moving average, but 7 days what you usually use. And they'll probably give us a more accurate figure. And probably at the moment, I'd guess it to be between about 3,000 and 4,000.
Right. And would you say that Gauteng itself has now entered the fourth wave? Would that be, are we there?
You know, I think we are there. It's actually not an arbitrary decision, by the way. It's done by quite a few parameters which they put together. They do the modeling parameters and they do the molecular and the testing parameters, and they put all this together. So there is some kind of standard which is used before it's basically authorized as a fourth wave. I think we probably are there in Gauteng. I think if we look at the figures, we look what's happening in Gauteng, I think we are there. Nationally, maybe not quite yet.
Mm-hmm. What's interesting to me is that Sunday night, I thought I saw a shift from the president, where he's saying to us that we don't want to over-legislate, we don't want to impose all these rules, but obviously we need you to vaccinate, we need you to be careful. To some extent, that places us during this pandemic in a situation we haven't really been in before, which is to say, okay, we need to take more responsibility ourselves. Just because we can have X amount of 100 people outside doesn't mean we should. How do we get that message? How do we start to think about these things a little bit differently, given the fact that there does, obviously I think we can anticipate that things will change, there will be more regulations, but at this stage there aren't.
Yeah. You know, Howard, it's always a toss-up between a public health need and a kind of overall need, a holistic need, because the public health need often clashes with the economic requirements with the general running of a country and the running of a society. So we really have to kind of find a middle path between that. You know, if it's up to us public health guys, we would say, look, let's go to lockdown 5. It worked very, very well in the first wave.
Yeah,
it brought it down quite well.
Yeah.
But clearly that's obviously not practical. We can't do that. Some countries, of course, do that and do that very successfully, like China has done it very successfully. But, you know, most countries can't do that. So we really rely on personal discipline, on personal carrying out these precautions. And, you know, if people did carry out these precautions, you know, there was a figure that was published quite a while back now that I don't want to misquote it, but saying of the order of, if 80% of people carried out 70% of the precautions, we would overcome the epidemic without a vaccine.
Amazing.
And, you know, it's something along those lines. Wow. And this is the point. We really rely now on personal behavior because, as you say, there's a limit to what you can legislate for.
Yeah, and that really is where we're at the moment. What is your advice to people in terms of behavior? Now we know obviously social distance, keep your masks, don't go into massive crowds, but should we be curtailing, I don't know, school events, end of year functions, all of this type of thing at this stage?
Yeah, well, we have to some extent. As you know, the youth camps and the main have been cancelled. Mm. That was a very painful decision because a lot of work and even quite a lot of finance has gone into it. So it wasn't an easy decision. It wasn't an easy recommendation to make.
Sure.
So yeah, I think those kind of things, as painful as they well may be, you know, now is the season where people do have functions and simchas and so on. Mm. Now is a time where there are engagements, there are weddings, and there are end of the year functions and office parties and so on. And really it's a difficult one because, you know, you don't see the virus and even you don't see people getting infected unless it's a few days later. So, you know, you do rely on people's kind of, I don't know, responsibility or perceptions or I guess in a way intelligence to kind of realize that, you know, these functions are what actually does spread these events. So if it has to be a function, it's got to be very well, I say, organized, very well regulated. And this is where I guess the personal regulation, individual regulation comes in.
And your response, I mean, I can only imagine your response to rage, but the fact that the Lita now cancelled, but
it's rage.
Also, I mean, that's exactly absolutely enraged. But I mean, the Plett rage still has not been cancelled. And the comment was that, well, they've passed the point of no return. People are already on their way. How do we deal with this?
Yeah, Howard, I think one can, I don't know, I'm disappointed that the authorities haven't dealt with it. And I guess it would have been the local authorities rather than the national authorities. The local authorities should not have allowed rage. You know, we know from experience that rage did be a super spreading event. And I don't think that the excuse that they're only allowing vaccinated kids into it, you know, holds any water. Because we know that there's a lot of breakthrough infections, and they are mild, that's true, but yet they kind of increase the reservoir of the virus. The virus is then increased in the community, and then it spills over to the people that aren't kind of, hard at risk. And I think that's the problem. Now, these things, they increase the load of the virus, the amount of virus that's circulating in the community. And that's what governs the size of the epidemic. So yeah, I think it's unconscionable that they're allowing something like rage to go ahead.
A lot of people are saying, and I'm starting to see reports that younger people are being impacted by the virus now. Is that because they were the last to be vaccinated, or does this indicate that there's a change in the virus in terms of who it's affecting?
Yeah, it's a difficult one. The bottom line is we don't really know at this stage. I think certainly the under vaccination of that group must play a role. But whether that plays the only role, that we'll have to wait and see. Now, this is an extraordinary variant. It's one that, first of all, it's got a lot more mutations than any preceding variant. It's got over 30 in the spike protein alone, in the critical protein. That's the one thing. Then there's some brand new mutations never seen before. And also the constellation of these mutations is also unique.
Come on.
So that puts a big question mark. We don't know, is it a viral catcher? Is it a viral property to affect younger people? That we'll have to wait and see. It's too early days.
Right. Yeah. And, certainly there's a lot to learn, as there has been the whole way through. Professor Barry Shoup, Chair of the Ministerial Advisory Committee on COVID Vaccines, chatting to us this morning. It has just gone at 7:30. I'm Howard Feldman. A very good morning.